The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through JW Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and JW Cole Advisors. JW Cole Financial, JW Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here is David Hayes.
Welcome to 2025, The Final Drive podcast, What You Need to Know to Win. Martin James in series here, number three, podcast three with Martin James, of course, the recovering CPA. Plainfield, Indiana. Hayes, a very big practice. You know, in last episode, Marty, we talked about qualified charitable distributions and how important it is and how it can have a cascading effect into other things like a lower tax bracket, maybe the 12% bracket, so you could avoid capital gains and dividend tax, maybe less on your Social Security. But it's very, very important for people to know, and you as a practicing CPA know, that if a client of yours that's not an investment client brings you their 1099-R and it says that you took, they took 50 grand out, you don't know they did $20,000 to charity.
Exactly. They got to tell you.
Yeah. So I think you do this. We do this. We send out a QCD letter every January. Important tax information at the top. Right. We sent 100, you'd be proud of me, 186 of them last year.
Boom.
Boom, baby, boom. So yes, you got to know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And as a matter of fact, I've actually seen tax returns, you know, people brought them in that they're doing QCDs and the CPA didn't treat it as a QCD.
Many times. We had just had a client have to go back and amend as far as he could amend back.
Right.
Because for the last 5 years he'd been doing them and he never picked them up. Yeah. I mean, we sent the letter and everything. It was in the packet. I'm just saying that people don't always pay attention.
And how you can tell whether this happened when you review your tax return, off that little line by your IRA distributions, there'll be this little thing that says QCD. And if that's not there, you need to bring that to their attention.
It's not OCD.
Yeah.
Although you want an account with OCD.
That's right.
It usually helps them catch those little things. Something we talked about in a prop podcast that we heard Jeffrey Levine, who was a guest on my radio show a couple of weeks ago, talk about was how to take advantage of stepped up cost basis at death and how to manage this within married couples. You've been playing this game for years. I honestly, in full disclosure, have kind of missed the boat on that. I just haven't. It hasn't been on my radar, but now it's completely on my radar. Yeah. And that's something, Marty, that everybody needs to know how this thing works. And we did a complete episode on it, but you could add more.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the concept is with certain assets, I pass away, it goes to my heirs. Whatever it was worth the day I died is what the heirs are going to inherit it at for their cost basis and purposes of capital gain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they can sell the next day and pay no gain.
Exactly. So that's one concept. But then we have the other assets, you know, like annuities, IRAs, installment sale contracts. Mm-hmm. If you did a qualified opportunity zone investment, those don't step in basis. That's what we call IRD, income in respect of a decedent.
Right.
And so your heirs are going to pay ordinary income taxes on that. So we're really kind of focused on those things. You know, we want to see what we can step up. And so, you know, if I have somebody who's, you know, pardon it, but getting ready to check out soon. Mm-hmm. But they're thinking about selling an asset. Don't. You know, that's
right,
if you can defer that, you just don't.
But what I believe is one of those most overlooked opportunities to avoid paying long-term capital gains on between assets, spouses. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And the same thing, you can just, let's say Misty and I, you know, own something, you know, for 20 years and it's worth $1 million and we paid 200 grand for it and we own it jointly and I die, then she'll get a 50% step up.
In Indiana, because we're not a community property state.
Yeah, there's not many community. We don't. There's seven. If you're in a community property state, please don't listen to this. But how many are there? Seven of them?
There's seven of them.
Yeah, there's there's only a few quirky rules that apply to those seven states, and we'll just avoid the community property states
for now. But I will bring up one point. If you move from, say, Wisconsin to Indiana, those assets you accumulated when you were in Wisconsin can still be considered community property assets in Indiana, which means you pass away or your wife passes away, full step up happens to the survivor.
How would they even know that? You just have to know. You have to know things.
Yeah,
you need to know people.
You need to tell your investment person to don't, you know, tag this account as community property account.
Well, here in Indiana, in all non-community property states, go back to Misty and I. If I die, she gets a half step up basis. But if I just said, you know what, I'm within the next couple of years, I may not be around. Here, you take it, or I take it. I mean, I take it all.
Right,
because I'm the sick one. Then I die, she gets it back, full stepped up basis. That's something that could be absolutely exploited amongst, you know, these family farms and all the different appreciated assets.
And the key is you got to live that one year.
You got to live a year.
Yep.
You got to live
a year. And then, of course, you know, loss type property makes sense also as far as, you know, moving that.
Yeah, because if you die with a loss, it's gone.
So if
you have a loss on something, transfer that asset to the spouse that's planning to live so they can keep enjoying those losses.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, it's almost like sometimes joint accounts are not the best option, you know, like, two individual accounts
with transfer on death
each other. Transfer exactly is better, you know, for some of this planning that you're doing there.
Right.
It's
just a huge opportunity. And we just covered that in episode 18. Other topics that I covered, things like which assets to hold in taxable accounts, tax deferred, tax free. Marty, any opinion on that? Because I have opinions.
I want all mine in a tax-free forever.
There we go.
It's like, so if you look at like your asset allocations, things that produce, you know, ordinary income, you really want it in the tax-deferred or tax-free account.
Right.
But things that can get, you know, capital gains treatment where I'm paying a lower tax rate on that, actually, that's better in a tax.
So real estate stocks.
Exactly. Like
that. So I did an episode on are tax-free bonds really tax-free? And I didn't get into some heavy lifting in that episode, but I wanted to make the point that no, they're not. They might be federally tax-free. And in Indiana, in most states, if they're an Indiana bond, then it's going to be state tax-free. But the tax-free interest on the bonds go into other calculations that people don't know, those stealth taxes.
Yeah, exactly. So the income on it is tax-free, sort of. I always like this sort of part of it. Because what happens is we have our regular adjusted gross income, but then for certain stealth taxes, we have this thing called modified adjusted gross income. And so the modified does, it goes up and looks at your tax-free interest and adds it into that, which can factor into how much of your Social Security is taxed.
Net investment surtax.
I mean, there's just several things that, it can affect.
Guess what doesn't affect any of that? Roth money. So I did an episode on when do you actually use your Roth money? Because we keep talking about accumulating it and dying with it and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, that came down to whenever you freaking want to use it, right?
Right, exactly. So here's the deal with that is, number one, I don't want to really miss my tax bracket bumping strategy.
Right.
You know, no matter what.
And it's like a gift card you leave on the table. It expires at the end of the year. It's 12%, 22, 24, whatever it is. If I don't use it, I lose it.
Right. And especially if I get to the point, let's say we've worked out of our strategy. Here's what my income cash flow is going to be in retirement. And all of a sudden an opportunity pops up or, you know, hey, I forgot to tell you, I was going to spend $100,000 on this vehicle.
Or a new Vexus bass boat.
21-foot
red with 150
horse. Now we're talking.
Just getting personal now. Okay, now, go ahead.
Exactly. So without knowing that, and now all my money's in my traditional IRA, I got to reach into that. I'm blowing up my tax bracket for that 1 year. So the idea is to actually create this pool of money out here that prevents me from ever blowing up my tax bracket.
I actually, in that episode, I don't remember, but I did I'm looking through previous outlines, but an example of that, of when how much money you would need to pay for that $70,000 bass boat out of a traditional IRA versus, you know, having money in a Roth. Another episode I did was, again, how the government could raise taxes, more revenue without raising taxes. And of course, we went through increasing payroll taxes, increasing the national sales tax. I mean, all kinds of ways they could increase.
Changes Social Security taxation if you're at a certain level.
It's 100%. Right. I mean, it happened in the early 80s. It happened under Clinton to go to 85%. I predict it's going to happen probably sooner than later, especially with the way things are headed. But one thing I brought up was minimum distributions, because right now, it was 70 and a half, went to 72, probably to 75. They're using a table to tell you how much you have to take. That's what that gets me on these IRAs. You said made a deal with the devil on a 72T payment in previous episodes. We've made a deal with the devil, period. You put the money away, tax deferred. I get a tax deduction today. It grows tax deferred. Okay. And I'll pull it out later. Right. We talked about this already, when I think my tax will be lower. But who else says, you know what? I'll tell you when you have to take the money out of your account, and I'll tell you how much of it's mine. By God, that's exactly what we've done.
Yeah.
So RMDs. But right now we use this goofy table, and we've used it forever, called the uniform table. And it assumes that you have a spouse 10 years younger. Because at age 70 and a half, I've got it in my head that I think it was like 27.2 years or something like that. Well, they don't think you're going to live 27.2 years at age 70. That's because they assume you have a spouse 10 years younger. Just like they changed the rules from 70 and a half, 72 to 75, they could flip the script and say, hey, no longer are we going to use this uniform table. We're going to use the single life table, which basically increases distribution substantially by like 30% or more. And they're already using that table now for inherited IRAs.
Correct.
So that's a way that I thought, again, Roths don't have required minimum distributions. Any additional thoughts on that, Marty?
Yeah.
I know it sounds it's not conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully. So just remember, the whole goal in the retirement regarding my tax bracket is to have that nice smooth ride.
Right.
I do not want spikes. And then I also don't want those dips in my tax bracket. You know, the dip is okay. But if I have a lot of money in my traditional IRA, it needs to come in to fill up that, to smooth that back out.
Yeah. And you can illustrate that with software. We have software that will show that. And I actually will show people, okay, see this, how your taxes are nice and smooth. And then bang, they jumped up by $40,000. Yeah. They're like, what happened? Well, your minimum distributions kicked in. Oh, and by the way, this kick went higher because your Medicare premiums went up. So let's push some of this income forward. Let's check that out. We push it forward, smooth it out. And it makes everybody happier.
But think about the funding of your traditional accounts. Okay. Most people think they're getting a tax deduction. That's not really a tax deduction. It's a loan from the government.
Yeah.
And under these terms, absolutely. Let's say if I walked into the bank and say, give me the same terms that I'm going to get with my IRA, you'd never sign that document.
No. We'll loan you this today at 4% today.
Yeah.
But tomorrow we can't guarantee what the rate will be.
Right.
So when you need your money,
we'll tell
back out from your account, I'll tell you how much of it's mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would not sign that document. I did other episodes, of course, on how capital gains are different, how not to pay tax or a little tax on your company stock in your 401k. But one episode we spent a lot of time on, I give Dave McKnight good credit on this, from the Power of Zero bestselling author, the tax-free treatment of life insurance and the multiple uses it provides. You heard that episode. Anything you want to reinforce to the listeners about how no one comes into our office and says, after my dad had died, how come my dad had so much life insurance?
Yeah.
I don't hear that.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't really hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. with the whole life insurance thing is, I mean, just go back to what Ed says, you know, there's not a better provision in the Internal Revenue Code than what the life insurance companies have.
It's like the most sacred.
It is.
It's like never, ever talked about. It's talked about sometimes about the accumulation of cash value and stuff, but it seems to always get pushed aside. Like, nah, it's not a big enough deal. We're not going to worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, Congress just only looks at abuses or whatever, but for the general concept of this is tax-free, you know, and you're going to get this based on some discounted dollars you're paying today.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and the fact that the products that have come out in the last several years have long-term care benefits, there's multiple benefits. So when folks say, oh, I don't need life insurance anymore, you know, my kids are raised, my house is paid off, I'm 5 years from retirement. It's like, well, Let's think about this a couple of different ways. I mean, let's say I didn't do a great Roth conversion strategy. Who's going to pay all the tax on these retirement accounts? Wouldn't it be nice to have a bunch of tax-free money to pay the tax? Mm-hmm. Would it be nice to have another pool of money to pay for long-term care if I'm, you know, if I can't perform, you know, two of my six activities of daily living? So yeah, I just think you're never too old to do a Roth conversion. You're never too old to consider having some life insurance.
And I've always felt like life insurance is the wrong name for it.
Death insurance? What should it be called?
I mean, a lot of times.
Croak insurance?
Yeah, or tax insurance.
Yeah, tax-free insurance.
Yeah, just tax insurance.
You know what? Life insurance has been around a long time. I don't think you and I are going to change that name anytime soon. I did an episode on people think they make too much money to put money into a Roth IRA and how they can backdoor their way in. But they also believe that applies to their 401ks. All the time I get that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first thing, a lot of people don't understand the difference between a Roth contribution and a Roth conversion. Anybody can do the conversion.
Anybody, but
some people are limited based on their income or what they can do into the Roth IRA. You already talked about the backdoor type thing.
Yeah, where you put money in, anyone can do a conversion, gets into a Roth. That may go away too, part of this provision.
Yeah, I guess it was in the Build Back Better plan, which died.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Manchin. so the thing that people do not do is they do not look at their 401ks close enough. And the place to really start is that document called the Summary Plan Description. And so what you're looking for is what can I do with this thing? And it may have in there, I can do my traditional deferrals. It'll have Roth account. It may have after-tax contributions, and it may have in-plan conversions.
And catch up.
Yeah, they'll have those. So those are the things. If you can see those things in the plan, you've got a really nice plan. Because one of the ways to, you know, let's say I'm maxing out my Roth 401k contribution, but I can't get any more money in it that way. But I can still make after-tax contributions. And normally, if I just left those in after-tax contributions, my after-tax contributions are never going to be taxable when the contributions come out, but the growth on it is. Mm-hmm. Plans with in-plan conversion provisions, and they call it in-plan rollover, typically.
Will
allow me to put my after-tax contribution in, and then I can convert that to my Roth account. And what's really cool with some plans is that...
That's genius. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. And with some plans, let's say I'm under 59 and a half. Okay. You know, I'm young. I'm still working. I can put this money into the after-tax account. And the plan says that anytime I want my after-tax money, I can pull it right back out. And just my after-tax money, not the earnings.
Not the
and
growth.
All.
Yeah.
Right, right. So I have access to it. But when I do this conversion, I also have access tax because it originally went in as after tax contributions. I still have access to it in my.
I would almost guarantee if you walked into your HR and started going through some of these questions, they would not know the answer.
They do not know the answer. So, and the thing that, you know, you may have started working for this company 15 years ago. Your plans have probably changed. So that's why it's a good, that's one thing we always ask. We say, we want to see what you got.
Well, even the after tax money, let's say you max out early in the year. Because you can. And I had an episode on Your Day Will Come but Marty and I are both sitting at that point where our day has finally come, right? Mm-hmm. The kids are mostly off the payroll. We say mostly because that's the way life is. Yeah. And we're making the most money we've ever made in our lives because we're at the peak earning years of our careers. So we can sock away a ton of money in savings. And I've like been telling people this for 25 years, how predictable spending and saving and debt pay downs works with demographics. Yeah. So put it all in as you can up front and then start doing after tax contributions, mm-hmm. whether you convert to Roth, have it option or not. When you retire, you can roll that after tax money into a Roth, what's called the mega Roth strategy.
And this strategy really works well for the self-employed person. Okay. With no employees. Because I don't have
solo 401k.
Solo 401k. But you can't just use the off-the-shelf Fidelity or Vanguard document. You have to get a better document that allows you to do all these things because mm-hmm. they don't want to mess with it. So typically you have a TPA involved or whatever, but it really works well there because a lot of sole proprietors, we have this thing called the QBI deduction, mm-hmm. which is where I pay taxes on 20%. You know, I get a 20% deduction based on my taxable income.
Right.
But it's based on my net business income. That person right there, if their income's low enough, I don't want to be making SEP contributions.
which is SEP.
Which is a
simplified employee pension. Right.
Exactly. Or deductible 401k contributions in my solo. Because what I'm doing is I'm when I put this money in, I'm really only saving 80% of my current tax bracket. But when I get to take it out, I'm going to pay 100%.
Because you get the 20% deduction.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's like I always say to people, it's like taking a prednisone shot. You feel really good for a while, but the pain comes back later.
Yeah.
Sometimes a bit worse than it was before.
But make it even better. Say you have the person who's got a brokerage account out here or cash. Mm-hmm. Use that money and max out that solo 401k.
I did an episode on how to pay tax on a conversion when you don't have the cash. That was an interesting one back in episode 7. Episode 6, we talked about Social Security, claiming strategy, taxation, the history of it, like you and I just discussed. And then really, folks, episode 1 through 5 was just a recap of the book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. So, Marty, thank you for being part of a 3-part series of Martin James CPA. I think you're going to be on Dean Barber's podcast coming up, which is...
I think that one's August 16th or 15th.
Okay, so you're a pretty popular guy. And we'll have you back again sometime to do 2025, The Final Drive. So thank you, Marty. All
right. Very good. Glad to be here.
If you would like to talk about how we can help you navigate these complicated issues, don't forget to go over to cfci.us and contact us to set up your complimentary call, or just simply give us a call at 812-334-3190 and we will make it happen. This has been 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025, The Final Drive,